high after being gathered to the Lord's name for nigh under 40 years or so and entering in my mid-50s. I can say that I've had no greater joy than to be gathered unto the Lord's name, and it is definitely a privilege. However, I find as time has gone on, there's also responsibility that comes with it. That is, there are principles in the scriptures that God has laid down for us, whether from the Lord himself or through Apostle Paul or Apostle Peter or Apostle John or Apostle James, whoever it may be. And one of these topics has to do with matters of discipline. I would like to read in several segments this piece by Mr. Witherby called Acting in Fellowship in Matters of Discipline. I find it a great help. I found it very poignant, and I want to be able to share that with you in a clear and concise manner. And so with that, let's proceed to the first part. Acting in Fellowship in Matters of Discipline by Mr. H.F. Witherby. When a local assembly acts, it will do so, if it acts rightly, as in the presence of God, by the authority of the Lord, and being guided by the Holy Ghost. If it does so act, we may justly assume two things. Number one, first, that there has been a subjection to the Word of God for the formation of the decision upon which the character of the action is taken. Secondly, that the consciences of the individuals forming the assembly have been in direct contact with and have been governed by the Word of God as to the matter in question. The act of the assembly thus wrought will be that of one mind and will be done in fellowship. In an assembly gathered to the name of the Lord, which is being frequently enlarged by the extension of fresh units, it is obviously all important that the Word of God should be referred to when given action is necessary, or at all events that the conscience of the fresh comers should be drawn out and exercised by the Word of God, lest they, ignorant of the Scriptures concerning the question which is before the assembly, should take part in and be bound by an action which, though the right in itself, does not command their consciences as to that which God had bidden should be done. If this care be not constantly exercised, the result will be, supposing years to roll on, that in some units of the assembly a spirit of following a leader or a majority will ensue, and thus that in a certain number of the individuals composing the assembly, practical subjection of conscience as related to assembly action will be imperiled. And when such a state of things occurs in a given assembly on a wide scale, the rule of leaders and not acting in fellowship will surely result. And the very ground of the assembly as gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus will be endangered. It will not be practically gathering to the name of the Lord and seeking the guidance of the Spirit in relation to the point before the assembly and in consequence saints acting as one, but it will be practically the authority of A or B and the guidance of this or that brother. In a word, it will be man, not God. The judgment of the leader or the majority may be right, but more is requisite than that the right thing should be done. It is of moral importance that the conscience of each individual of the assembly should have the sense of responsibility to God, and that all should act together in the sight of God. When, either from ignorance or inertness, the units of the assembly take to following the leader or following in with the majority, there is a very great weakening, if not giving up, in their souls of the principle of the individual responsibility of each saint towards God, and also in the reality of the presence of the Holy Ghost in the assembly. They are merely accepting the state of things which pertains to their assembly and are not acting as led by the Spirit. Also, though the action be passed, as we may say, by the whole assembly, and thus outwardly all will shall be smooth, and though the action be right in itself, still there in spiritual decay as to fellowship and subjection to God. When consciences are not in exercise, that the Word of God is not inquired into, seeds are surely growing up which will develop into ministerialism and surrender of judgment and conscience to ministers. The Holy Ghost, as his work in an assembly, is thus practically set aside, and when the state is complete, only the name of the assembly of God will remain. Godly individuals may indeed be united together professedly on the ground of the assembly, but the vitality of their gathering together will no longer subsist, as it will be man, not God, who holds things together. The true idea of acting in fellowship is lost in souls who follow a leader or a majority, or, if we will, a minority, for it is not with them the Holy Spirit guiding the assembly's judgment into obedience of the Word of God, but the judgment of person A or person B, or the influential part of the assembly. This is exceedingly sad work and utterly unworthy of the grace of God, who has opened our eyes to the fact that it is our privilege and duty to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The dictum of a man is not in the unity of the Spirit, and following it is retrogression, even to the state of things all around us, where, from Rome downwards, men hand over their consciences to their leaders as to the matters of discipline. And we have only to consider the present divided state of Christendom in order to have a just view of the result of the principle of following a leader or going with a majority or a minority. Yes, and to be warned of our certain end if we do as Christendom as large does. Those whom God has set in assembly as leaders or guides are especially responsible to him to direct the minds of his people toward himself in these matters. It is of deep importance that faith be an exercise as to the fact of the presence of the Holy Ghost in an assembly, and that he can and does lead God's people to oneness of judgment. We say faith be an exercise as to this, for if the doctrine merely be accepted and the practical results of the truth of God, the Holy Ghost being with us, be ignored, we are simply laying ourselves open to Satan by holding the truth intellectually and yet practically denying it. If there be faith in the presence of the Holy Spirit guiding our minds, there will necessarily be also dependence on God and patience. Also, in proportion to our degree of actual faith in God, will our own fleshly ways and energies be utterly rejected. Efforts to obtain a majority or to force the will of a minority or to carry the special views of a leader who are sure marks of independence of the Holy Spirit. If the responsibility of the leaders in an assembly is great as to directing minds to the reality of the presence of God, the Holy Ghost, so also is the responsibility great as to the state of their own spirits when a matter of discipline is before an assembly. Quote, ye are spiritual, Galatians 6:1, are recognized by God, and alas for the assembly which regards as spiritual such an act contrary to the, quote, spirit of meekness, or to resort to means which accord not with the holiness and truth of him who is the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of truth. This concludes part 1. Please see the link below to continue with part 2.